You're listening to the UCB Longform Conversations podcast, in-depth conversations with performers and teachers from the best alternative comedy theater on the planet. In today's episode, the podcast will take a break from our normal interview format, instead presenting a palate cleanser, where UCB teachers and staff present official UCB news and updates, focus on a specific element of longform improv, and offer experimental one-off episodes. The opinions expressed in this episode are those of the comedians talking and don't necessarily reflect the opinions of UCB Theater or Training Center.
Warning. What you're about to hear is an extremely nerdy conversation about long-form improv comedy.
Hello, this is Jessica Ross here with the Palate Cleanser on Long-Form Conversations. We're taking a break from improv to talk mod, and I have some great mod writers with me. To introduce myself, I'm Jessica Ross, and I write for the mod team Bombardier. If we want to go around and everyone can introduce themselves.
My name is Zed Kutzinger, and I also write for Bombardier.
Yeah. My name is Gerald Grissetti, and I write for Old Flame.
All right. I'm Zora Bikangaga, and I write for The New Deal.
Awesome. Thanks so much for being here, guys. So my first question for everyone is, what got you into sketch?
I think when I was around 8 years old, my babysitter, Heidi, is it okay if we use real names?
I guess it depends on your relationship with her. Would she mind?
Yes.
Oh. Then okay. Don't use her okay. Name.
My babysitter, Mighty, she... on Saturday nights, when my parents would be out doing their thing, I guess, she would be like, "Do you want to watch Saturday Night Live?" And I didn't know what it was, but we would watch it. And I guess this was like 93, so it was that whole early 90s era. And I loved it. And there were certain sketches where she'd put it like, she'd be like, "You can't watch this." I guess more of like the sexual ones, but that's when I got my first taste for sketch, and I've had a sketch tooth ever since.
Sketchy tooth.
Sketch tooth.
I do need to go to the dentist.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Get some cavities from that sketch tooth.
Exactly.
For me, Gerald, when I was five or four, one of those little kiddie ages. Me and my parents, we used to always watch and Live in Color, like at night. And I'm an only child, so it'd just be me, my mom, my dad. And I remember one night, it would just be cracking me up. One night, I was watching it, and they were rolling the credits, and they were all on stage, like, clapping. And I was like, "Hey, mom, is this a job? Are they doing this? Is this, like, the end of their job?" Or I was just, like, thinking. I was like, "Wow, this is what they do." And so that, I guess since then, I was always like, you know, fascinated with the Wayans brothers and, Mad TV and, various crazy sketch shows, you know. And so that's why I always kind of was doing little funny videos here and there and when I was, you know, throughout high school or school. So, yeah, that's kind of what got me into it.
Yeah, I think also in Living Color for me, it was the first sketch show that I started watching because I think when it came on, like in the... I think it was like 1990 or 91 or something like that. That was when I remember first watching TV, actually just consciously like sort of watching my own shows. And yeah, it just like, it blew my mind because it was like this mix of sketch comedy, but then they had like hip hop too. So they had like the Fly Girls. And I was like, whoa, that just blew my mind. And obviously the characters, you know, like Men on Film and like Jim Carrey's character and, that was like the first time that I started to like consciously watch sketch comedy or be into it. But then also I was really into All That. That was like my
jam. I was into All That too.
I loved that and I never missed it. And it was, to me, it was almost like a kid's version of In Living Color in a way, because like they had like hip hop on it too. Like they had, you know, Coolio would do, I don't know, like he would come on the show and like the theme song was TLC. And so it was, yeah, it was like this thing that obviously it was relatable and inclusive. Then it was just a deep dive into watching all the bests of SNL. And, but yeah, for sure, All That and Living Color.
Yeah. Speaking of Nick, too, I would watch a lot of Nick at Night, and they would play I Love Lucy at night. Yeah. And while it's not like a sketch show, like everything is its own like little sketch. Sure. And I just remember thinking she was so funny and great and like getting more into comedy and people being like, women aren't funny. Like initially, all the women I knew were funny and everyone in my, like, I didn't understand the argument. It had to be like told to me that people thought that. I was like, oh, that's ridiculous. Watch Nick at Night.
For sure.
It's almost like when coins, when people are like, it's always said, in God we trust. And then you found out it that started in with McCarthy, where it's like, wait, there was a whole era before everyone said women weren't funny when they were like the stars of everything.
Yeah. Sure. Yeah.
Sorry, man.
Go ahead.
Oh, that was it.
We don't have to apologize on this podcast.
I'm very polite. I'm very polite. No, because it's funny. You said I Love Lucy. Speaking of funny women, like, Mama's Family. Does anybody remember that show? Vicki Lawrence.
Yeah.
Oh, Carol Burnett, who was like really close with Lucille Ball, like discovered Vicki Lawrence, and she made this really crazy show called Mama's Family. You gotta watch it.
I'm gonna read it.
It's like a multicam. Yeah, that was also one of my favorite shows growing up, like watching before I went to school, because my mom would like it. And it's just like a family of like crazy old people, you know. And Vicki Lawrence was like she was playing an old woman, but she was also in the Carol Burnett show, but she was like a breakout from that show. So
it's like a spinoff.
Yeah, it was a spinoff.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
I'm gonna check it out.
Yeah, it's pretty good. For sure.
Jessica, is it okay if I read your notes after? Because I'm not gonna write, but if you
yes,
you take
I
note
can
of
share
something,
them. Yes.
Yeah, I would like
I'll
to read
notes
it.
Of the and you could also listen to this if you want it.
It's difficult.
So in particular, what brought you guys to UCB? Like, how did you hear about it? And what about the school really kept you here and wanting to learn here as opposed to anywhere else?
When I lived in New York in 2000, I guess around 2005, the UCB Theater in Chelsea, which I guess is being shut down now, my girlfriend and I, we'd wait in line for like an hour to go to like the free showing of ASCAT. And I had been familiar with UCB because in high school, my friends and I, we all watched the show. And then like the next day at school, we'd all talk about the sketches and how crazy they were. I loved UCB, but I didn't really understand it as an institution at this point. So I went to ASCAT and I just couldn't believe what they were doing. there was like all these like celebrities doing it too. Off the top of my head, like Amy Poehler and like Tim Meadows, just these people. And it was like, I can't believe they're all here. And I realized that they were offering classes. So I started doing improv in New York, but it never really fully clicked. So when I moved to LA, I was like, maybe I should try the sketch portion more of off the stage comedy, I guess, which is writing.
Yeah.
Ever since then, I've just been kind of hooked to writing and doing it. And yeah, UCB just seems like a great place to do stuff that might not always make sense.
Definitely. A lot of stuff that I do does not make sense either. No, I'm kidding. I took a 101 class and I went to a Bangarang show and I was doing stand-up before I did, you know, improv out here, and I'd only see improv at like college and it was not funny to me at all. No, college improv is just like, what? All right, this is cool. But
do you want to tell us which college?
Seattle University.
Ha! Wow. They're trash. And
I went to the University of Puget Sound too. They had an improv team called the Ubiquitous They.
And oh my God.
Yeah, they're somebody's out here. I don't know. Maybe I don't know. But they're great people. I took a class here and then I saw a Bangarang show and I was like, this is funny. And I kept seeing shows and I was like, these people are funny. And I was just like, I want to be where the shows are funny. And so I just continued on with sketch. And because it was fun. Yeah.
Yeah. Man, I can't. I would love to just go in on Seattle improv because that's.
really stick it to them.
I went to school in Seattle too. I went to Seattle Pacific.
Oh,
and the first time I saw improv up there was like Jet City Improv. And I think their whole claim to fame was that Joel McHale started there. But it was like, I just didn't understand what was happening. And it just wasn't like good improv. So when I came down here, I remember, you know, just like I got like a commercial agent pretty quick because I was doing like basketball commercials and stuff. Because I look like a basketball player. You probably can't tell from the podcast. But
we all look like basketball players, by the way.
We're all wearing jerseys right now.
Yeah, and we're all 6'6". Yeah. So I remember like my commercial agent telling me that, oh, you should do like improv. And like I'd sort of like, you know, did little, you know, improv, I don't know, like these little workshops around town and stuff like that. But I was pretty broke. And then I heard someone told me that there was like a diversity scholarship at UCB. And I was like, oh, well, if I like apply and get it, like I'll obviously take a class. And fortunately I did. And yeah, like I did the improv program and everything. But then I remember I went and saw, I went to Mod Night and I saw New Money and I was like, oh, like that appealed to me more than Herald Night. I was like, oh, I want to do this, you know, like this is kind of like my jam. Like, it would be fun to write and sort of like, you know, for characters and stuff like that. So, Mod Night always appealed more to me, even though at that time, like everyone was like, oh yeah, like Herald Team, Herald Night, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then, yeah, just, that old Mod Night that was at Franklin was dope to me.
Yeah, it is kind of weird that it does feel like secondary to improv sometimes, or like at least when you're talking to students, like they definitely know about the improv sure. and then kind of learn about mod later and yeah. then either really like it or just stick yeah. with improv.
Yeah, which is crazy because it's like, I don't know, to have that hard separation between the two is weird to me. And also, you know, just the history of improv is like so enmeshed with sketch and is supposed to feed sketch. And yeah, I don't, there shouldn't, it's unnecessary, I think, to like really make a hard distinction of like, oh, I'm only interested in improv.
Or, yeah. I feel like my time doing improv at UCB helped me so much in that first like sketch class. Cause right away you're talking about game moves and unusual sure. and it's like it's such a slower, I feel like, edging into that in improv that you get to like physically feel it in your body and understand it. Or maybe that's just me as a learner, what I like, but to sure. have it like just told to you, I was like, this would be very hard to understand how I not yeah. done all that before.
It's a shortcut.
What I loved about UCB over everywhere else I went, not that I didn't enjoy things about other schools, but it like was the first time that it wasn't this vague, like, you'll just feel it when you're up there, or you just like, you'll just click into it and know. I'm like, but how do you like do it all the time and make it consistent without it just being like no one could quite put a word or a label on it until I heard like, this is game and this is the beats that you want to hit. And this is, and not that you can't stray away from that, but like learn this and understand that. And then you can, you know, take that forth and do whatever. And I was like, thank God somebody like answered this question.
Yeah, that they like codified it.
Yeah. Yeah, I was sure. like, and I guess maybe just for me, it's what I needed at that time. And maybe other people come here and don't understand it, go somewhere else and it clicks. But that was definitely the moment where I was like, thank you for answering this like vague question that everyone else has just been like, oh, you know, whatever, you'll feel it out.
Yeah, it sounds like like you were talking about the force or something.
Yeah,
not something like the game of a scene or a sketch where it's like, oh, you can explain it in one sentence and everyone would go, oh yeah, that was the thing we were all laughing at. You guys were mentioning other mod teams. In New York, there was this group, Stone Cold Fox.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Also, I think one of the reasons why maybe there is a little bit more of a separation is when people talk about the people who came out of UCB improv, there's all these like big names. But in sketch, I think because it is newer, there's not as many. Like, you have Kate McKinnon, which kind of seems... Is she, like, the biggest person to come out of mod?
Aubrey Plaza, didn't she do
mod?
Okay.
I don't know if this statement is accurate.
Because mod came out after Herald, so I just think...
Yeah, that part's accurate.
Yeah, so I think there was just more of, like, a history.
I think anyone who was big and good probably did both.
Yes.
Is my thought or understanding.
All right. I was trying to have a logic behind it, but I guess you guys destroyed it.
Yeah. All right. First debunked.
You're wrong, bro.
Yeah. There are wrong questions. Yeah. There are wrong answers to these questions.
She's like grading over there.
I am grading as well.
I mean, I think also, well, maybe like the era that you're talking about was more sort of like maybe improv heavy or like sort of known for it. But I feel like out here, there have been people that have really sort of been able to use mod as a platform. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if you look at New Money, I mean, I mentioned New Money before is kind of like this group that I loved, but that whole group, you know, is doing pretty well, you know? And I think maybe in LA, and I don't know, like maybe this is like a point in contention, you know, for other people, but I think in LA, it's been this really cool place where, I don't know, it's more applicable to maybe like what's happening here and sort of like people and doing TV or even like going on to SNL. But that's just my philosophy.
Yeah.
It's better. No.
He doesn't mean to flex on y'all, but
I mean, no.
Well, I think what you hear time and again too is like, it's so great to have the skill of improv, but it's so like the beauty and kind of difficult thing of it is like you do it once and then it's gone. Exactly. You have nothing to show someone if you're trying to go further than that of like, here is on a piece of paper, a sketch that sure. I wrote, or yeah. here is a video of me in a sketch that I could do again for you yeah. at some point. And like an improv, it's like, well, come to the show and most likely it'll be good. Maybe it won't, you
yeah.
know.
Yeah, not to diminish
oh,
the
yeah,
people
no.
that came out of improv, but yeah, it is. It's more of what you'd end up doing if you end up booking a show, or you know, you're taking something that or a character that somebody else wrote, or maybe that you wrote, and you're playing it in a believable way and comedically, and yeah, I just think it's more applicable,
and it's hard work, you know. I mean. Shout out to all my improv friends. Like, it's funny because, like you said, improv, you could just show up and you'll be like, hey, let's do these jokes and we're done. But sketch, you got to rewrite it. You work with people, you get pitches and you work on the tech. And it's like, it's just all encompassing. You know what I mean? And it's very rewarding too. You know,
yeah,
when you get it up yeah. and you get it finished and you're done. So, yeah, that's, I don't know. That's my level.
I'm also now, to kind of go back to my point, I'm realizing in L.A., when the theater started, I think Maude and Harold were both there from the beginning. So I think here they were always on equal footing. But I think in New York, because it started so much later, maybe that's why I have that perspective.
Yeah.
Also, just, you know, you guys were talking about, you know, sketch and improv and how they're connected. In New York, Derek used to have a show like weekly or monthly at UCB, and I was talking to them later about their sketches, and they told me that, I don't know how much they were exaggerating, but they said every sketch was taken from an improv scene they did.
Oh, that's crazy.
Sure.
What did you say, Derek?
Yeah, with
comedy.
Yeah, Derek comedy.
Oh,
Derek
dang. Okay.
Yeah, I'm on first name basis.
Oh, hey man, that's Derek comedy.
Wow. Do you think he'll mind if you say his name?
Did I say I meant Merrick?
Okay.
Well, while we're kind of talking about putting on the show and what it takes, maybe we can go a bit into like the writing process and writing in a writer's room and kind of generating ideas. We can start with any of those. Maybe how you generate ideas, like where your ideas come from when you bring them to that first pitch meeting.
I don't know if you,
anyone say, can go first. We don't have to go
okay.
down.
Yeah. I'll start first.
Please, guys. Yeah. Thank you. Oh, right. So much pressure.
Me, where my ideas come from, just it depends. I'm very observational. You know, something could happen to me. Like some guy could be doing something funny and it could affect me in a certain way. Then I'll be like, that'd be a good sketch. And then like a couple of months or a couple of weeks or days down the line, I'll just kind of like refine that pitch or idea. Or yeah, pretty much. Or there could be like a really popular like song out, or a really popular celebrity that's doing something weird, and then I'll want to like kind of make a parody of that or something. So it, you know, it all, like, I remember one day I was at my girlfriend's house, and there were hella fruit flies in her house. And a lot of times, like, the best ideas come to me when I first wake up. That's probably what they're like, that's a hacky ass thing to say. No, but and I'll just be like, you know, just because it's so raw, that moment when you first wake up, you're walking around. But anyway.
Been brewing on it.
Yeah, you're
like
just
in
like
in that REM sleep.
Exactly. You're still in the dream. But no, and there's hella fruit flies. And I made a pitch from that. And, you know, from now, then it turned into a game show. And but yeah, that's kind of how my stuff.
They do say, yeah, when you're not thinking about something yeah. is when something comes to you.
Yeah.
I know when I used to like ride my bike is when I'd like think of an idea that I was having difficulty with, and then I'd be like, I gotta write this down and like try to get somewhere faster.
Is that why you had that notepad connected to your bike?
It is, yeah. That's why I got hit by a car too.
Yeah, I was nice. I was hoping that wouldn't come up, but
yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah. I think early on, a lot of the ideas that I had were all from a place of like wanting to say something about something that bothered me. And I think that's why I like a lot of the sketches that I think early on that I guess, you know, maybe that I really pushed or that I really pitched were just, you know, just the things that I wanted to say about like a TV show that I saw or something that I thought Hollywood was doing, or like the way maybe like someone treated me or something like that. And so I think maybe that's why a lot of the sketches that I've written maybe are a bit more on the socially conscious tip. Where, you know, like the first year I wrote this sketch, that it always bothered me that like ABC was sort of using diversity in this way of like, it was cool that they had shows like Black-ish and like Fresh Off the Boat and but in the show with that got canceled with like the the Irish Family with the just like that they were using diversity almost as a gimmick. And so I wrote this sketch that was like sort of loosely based on Black-ish, and it was called Slave-ish, and it was just about like this, you know, newly emancipated family, and like all the jokes were like just on the hook of them, you know, like the fact that they used to be slaves. And I think like just maybe like for me, like starting from a place of, I don't know, just like being really bothered or wanting to say something about something. But I think now it's a bit more, you know, if I meet somebody just really weird, or, you know, I've been writing a lot of character sketches about, you know, just a weird dental hygienist that was cleaning my teeth and just getting really personal with me, or, but it's always, I guess, from like a like an emotional kind of thing of like reacting to something or like how something makes me feel. And I don't know if that sounds, like, I don't know, pretentious, but, yeah, it's usually from like an emotional place. But also, it's interesting that you say that you get ideas when you wake up. I think for me, it's weird because like I'll sort of sit on an idea and I'll write it and it'll be really loose. But then for some reason, I'll walk away. And whenever I'm brushing my teeth, like it always crystallizes to me. And we were talking about teeth earlier, but,
it's true.
Yeah. But there's something about being at the sink and like just this, the ritual of brushing my teeth, just like the strongest buttons for sketches, like a way to end a sketch or like just a line that ended up being so funny usually comes when I'm brushing my teeth.
This is so fascinating that everyone has like this one little activity where like their aha moments come from. Yeah. Zed, make it a fact, make it factual. Tell us what yours is.
It's not the process of like pooping, but when I'm wiping and when I'm like kind of cleansing the palate, as I call it. No. Okay. So I'm going to break this a little bit. So for me, what I do is just anytime something makes me laugh, I try to write it down. What's interesting, especially for sketch, and I'm sure we can all relate, is sometimes something will be funny and it's like, is this like a funny, like a sentence? Is this like a tweet, or is this something like that can be put into behavior and kind of explored for 3 to 4 pages? And I think that's a hard part about being like funny, like all of us, is sometimes trying to figure out, is this funny 1 page or funny 3-4 pages?
Yeah, sure.
And sometimes you don't even realize until you're writing it.
Yeah.
Where you're struggling with page like 2 or 3, where you're like, maybe this wasn't meant to last this long.
Yeah. And that's interesting because also, you know, the part of mod is that you're writing other people's pitches sometimes, right? So like for you guys, I mean, I'm sure you have actors that come to you and they're like, okay, I have this character. This character's just like, you know, like I'm obsessed with water bottles, you know, and it's like funny in the way that they pitch it. But then you have to sort of beat it out to be like, okay, well, that's funny. But like how, like where can I put that? And what would be the beats to like really expand that and like justify why is this person obsessed with water bottles, you know? And yeah, I think that's where like the real kind of skill comes in. Cause it's you have to, is it like in the environment or is it in the other people that are there? Is that where that like justification comes from? Like that's like a really fun discovery of what you just mentioned. Yeah.
And I think that's why like the longer I've been writing, in a weird way, the less pitches I have, because earlier on, now I kind of have the brain of, because I've been writing them long enough where it's like, I already know this isn't going to work. Yeah. So now it's like when I pitch something, I'm already more comfortable thinking of beats that could happen later.
Sure.
I feel like the shower is a good place though.
Yeah.
The shower's a great place.
Yeah. To come up with ideas. Also, I just, the thing that I really like is just seeing things and going, you know, it'd be really stupid. I was at the Americana or something, and I saw a giant J.C. Penney sign. I was like, you'd be really stupid if they rebranded as like J.C. Nichols. Because like maybe that's like a higher, you know, like that's like the nicer version of it. I'm like, so that's just my brain. I'm like, the more serious something is, I'm just like, what if there's someone who's really stupid, but they think they're smart and they, you know.
J.C. Nichols.
Because I found also when I try to write things that are more like, I guess like a smart sketch, kind of like the style that you're doing.
Mine's dumb. My sketches are dumb.
I gravitate dumb more, sketches, more towards dumb. But when I try to do smart, sometimes I'm like, I think I'm making a point, but I don't know if it's funny. Sure, and I think that's like a whole other skill is like people who can make the point, but also like hold the audience's hand through the three pages and laugh the entire time beyond just the punchline of the point. And for me, it's really hard to do that because I just want to make like J.C. Nichols jokes.
I mean, if that's where your instinct is taking you, I mean, that's.
I've laughed every time you said it.
Yeah, maybe J.C. Quarters. I don't know. Maybe that's page four. We'll get there.
Yeah,
later.
That's heightening. Yeah.
Increasing the worth of the coin.
Yeah, for sure. Definitely.
You gotta have like a rustic store. It's like J.C. Buffalo Nickel.
Yes.
You know, or they're Buffalo Nickels, right?
That's what. Yeah,
I think. Yeah. If there aren't, there are now.
Yeah, there we go.
There are now.
Yeah, it's sometimes I kind of run away from trying to make put a serious message in my sketches. You know, maybe that's something I need to work on really, you know, hard. But like, I feel like if there's something like burning in me that's like, okay, Gerald, you need to say this, or if it comes to me naturally and organically, sure. I'd probably, you know, do it rather than trying to force a message, you know?
Sure.
Like sometimes I could be, yeah. I don't like to force it, Zora, at this point. And also, I saw that, I saw the Slavish, that sketch. I was a wee young sketch student when I watched it, and it was very dope. I think I told you that before, but...
Didn't you say it was dope-ish?
It was... Yes.
Nice.
The spinoff.
I was over... Sorry, I shouldn't have been overhearing your conversation that day it's after fine. You left the
I know, room. Man. What the heck? We didn't even become acquainted with each other, but no.
Yeah. I think an interesting thing, too, about dope off the boat.
I mean, that's a whole other implication.
Yeah.
Hey, improv fans. If the suggestion for your next show is beer, maybe initiate your scene with something like, check it out, they've got Bronx beer on tap at this bar. It's the start of a great scene, and ordering a Bronx is a great way to start any night out. And Bronx is now the official house beer of the UCB Comedy Podcast Network. Visit thebronxbrewery.com for more information, and be sure to make your next pint a Bronx. And scene.
Like just an interesting thing, too, of writing at Maud for, because the very least, you'll have like a year doing it if you're on a team. And yeah, you feel like maybe you have one style, and then just being forced to bring in pitches constantly and write constantly, you see how your interest ebb and flows, or what is coming out of you ebb and flows. And it's like, I think a fun thing and a challenge that I like to give myself at Maud is like if I've written a sketch that's like a certain type of sketch one month, to try to be mindful to at least like bring in something else. Because I feel like people talk about their like voice as a comedian a lot, but I also feel like Maud is a time to like try to figure out exactly what that is and not get so stuck in one hole that it's like, oh, I left Maud and I wrote the same sketch, 12 sketches for like the past 12 months, you know?
Sure. Yeah, and that's the cool thing about doing Maud is because you have to generate so much.
Yeah.
You know, and there is like something competitive about it where there are, you know, five other writers on your team. So it's like everyone's trying to obviously support each other, but, you know, you can't bring in whack stuff or else it's not going to be in the show. And so, yeah, for sure. Like that first year, I think, you know, like part of my note, like mid year was like, hey, try to write something like you've been good at like sort of the message stuff, but try to write something silly and stupid. And so it is cool to like really kind of explore that. And I was like at that point I was like, oh, you know, like, all right, I'm going to just write the silliest thing possible. And then I ended up writing like this sketch about NSYNC. You know, just like going like a, you know how they have those tours or those cruises, those nostalgia cruises.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was like an NSYNC nostalgia cruise, but obviously like Justin Timberlake is too famous to be on it. So it's just the NSYNC members.
Sad members.
Just being super sad about JT not being there. But yeah, that came, I mean, that was really fun to write. But yeah, it came from, you know, people sort of pushing me to be like, hey, just write something silly and stupid.
Didn't you write the frog vagina one as well, the princesses?
Yeah.
Zed also has a frog vagina one.
Yeah. We talked about this.
You guys have talked about your frog vagina sketches?
Great minds, frog vagina alike.
For sure. Definitely. But they were different. They were like pretty distinctly different. But I remember...
Well, I held both up to the light and some of the words did kind of go together. No. I think that's a big part of this also is realizing some ideas like that. It's like two people independently have it, but it's sure. How are... And this is why they are different is he's smart, I'm dumb. So we had very different perspectives on
it. No, man.
But you know what I mean? Like each person doing this, like all six writers on your team could have... done a version of that sketch, but even though there might have been some of the same jokes, like it'll go in different directions and be funny for different reasons.
And because you did that frog, like that sexual frog sketch, the first year of Bombardier, right?
I think so. Is that correct, Jessica?
Yeah, let me check the records. Okay. Yes.
Yeah, she's got all the sketches.
I have every
that
sketch
you've
anyone's
ever
written.
Yeah, because I did go to a lot of Bombardier shows, but I never saw that one, and so we. Ended up being a mod team like that next year. And I remember we did the sketch. We did my, frog sketch, sexual frog sketch. I remember we were going to do it at Star Punch. And then Beth was like, oh, by the way, like, you know that Bombardier did a sexual frog sketch. And I was like, no. And then
they're so different.
But they're different.
I feel like we've talked about
this. Yeah, we talked about it.
I respect you, just so you know.
Yeah, for sure.
I want you guys to fight. Now.
We're settling the beef right here, guys.
Right here on Palate Cleanser.
Oh, God. This is what Mighty wanted.
It's also like you mentioned... your babysitter. You mentioned... shouts out to her.
Shouts out to Mighty.
Call back to Mighty. Yeah.
The Mighty touch.
You mentioned like how competitive it is, Azora. It's funny because... when I came in, it's me. This is my first year writing, and it's me and Emily Davila. It's our first year, and everyone else has been on mod for like 3 years. Sure. You know, so we come in and we're like, and I'm just like feeling the sweat. You know, I gotta get sketches in.
And they're
in,
all fat and lazy.
but they're just like, you know, they're used to the workload of just, you know, producing all of this stuff, and so I had to really just go, you know what, I have to do this. I have to go crazy, you know, to just to even kind of get, you know, up to their level. But it was really cool because it kind of forced me to develop and really go, okay, don't be this dumb, Gerald. I don't know. Just it forced me to get better. You know what I'm saying? Like, and also I hear you guys like your Bombardier and the New Deal. They have your actors come to every meeting, right?
Yeah, everyone comes to every meeting. Tell?
No,
do not say that.
That's
we try.
Oh, you try?
Yeah. I'd say we try, but sometimes actors they don't show up.
We know that.
Wow, it's all coming out now.
We're settling this.
Yeah. Hey, can I give just like a tip to people who are new to mod? I mean, you're not new anymore. This is something I found in terms of the competitive thing is when you can give pitches on other writer sketches, sometimes I purposely do a pitch that I know isn't good because I think it'll actually make the sketch worse. So mine is more likely to get in the show.
Okay. That's not what I do.
Yeah. This is just a Z-Man
that's
tip.
Great, man.
Yeah. If you get a torpedo.
That's bad, man.
At the beginning, it says that UCB agrees with everything that we say, right? good.
I mean, here's the thing.
Let's make sure that disclaimer is still at the top.
In a competitive world, if you can lessen everyone around you, you are just, like, by the law of physics, you are bettering yourself.
Sure.
So sometimes, if you can put more time, like, why better yourself if you can worsen everybody else around you?
I would like to get to taking notes from kind of the writing process because you're not you're on mod, not kind of writing by yourself in a vacuum. You have all these people, so just to hear a bit about like either pitching on other people's stuff or taking notes from people, what that experience is like. Or I love that you talked about working with the actors because that's one of my favorite parts is taking their pitches.
Sure.
I just feel like a lot of time for students, they're like. They're a little unwilling, I've noticed in classes that I'm in, to like want to take notes. Like they'll always just be like, well, you just didn't get it. And it's like everybody gets what's funny and likes what's funny, and no one's trying to like hurt anybody right now, except for Zed, obviously.
Yeah,
this guy.
It's for the best.
Were you going to say something? Sorry.
I'm like,
we're all into this.
I know. But I think It is. I mean, I'm not like straight up trying to torpedo people,
can you guys stop giving me bad looks?
No, I'm kidding. But no, that's like the fun part. And I think like, the first year, it's interesting. Cause like, I don't know how Bombardier was, but our first year of the New Deal, everybody was new. Every single person.
Yeah, we were too. Actually, that's a lie. The actors weren't. All the writers were.
Gotcha. Yeah. So our actors and writers were completely new. And we were just like sort of figuring everything out. And, you know, we were like very polite with each other at first. And, you know, like Beth was our first director. And she, you know, really like sort of set this like very clear tone. But I think now we're to a point where we're like very honest with each other. We're like, that line doesn't make any sense, you know? But it is really fun to like sort of pitch on other people's stuff. And, you know, if you're talking about like taking this experience and, you know, bringing it into a writer's room, like you want to be able to pitch on other people's stuff. That's like part of being a writer and just strengthening, like the group mind and everything. So, I think that's like one of the key sort of aspects of the whole mod experience is really like pitching on other people's stuff and like really listening and being engaged and stuff like that. But then also taking the writer's pitches and back to the frog sketch. that was an actor pitch, actually. Now that I'm remembering it, it was a pitch that Ego brought in. And like, you know, Ego has this way of like anything she pitches for some reason, I think is so funny because she just like sells it.
Yeah.
Even if it is like sort of, you know, just like an idea that's just like behaviorally, like she'll just like sort of come in and I'm like, I'm writing that because it made me laugh.
I feel like that's the John Melheiser on our team. Like anything he pitches is just like, the guy drinks a lot of water. And everyone's like, well, that's great.
Yeah, exactly. And then I'm like, and then I go back to my computer. I'm like, wait, hold on.
Drinking water. Why did I take this one?
Yeah.
Didn't she have a pitch? I heard her say like, I walked into this pitch. I'm sorry for giving away. She said, for this picture, this character named Coochie Mane.
That's true. Or is it, was she just like, it was a bit?
No, I wish, man.
Oh, okay, maybe she's just, I think she was just saying like hypothetically she might walk into the pitch. I thought she did that day because I think I was out in the.
Okay, that's so fun. No, that's just her. I think that's just her popping off.
You have to write this now.
I know.
Write it, man. But this should be our sketch.
Coochie Mane.
The one that you overheard someone else pitch, but you know, whatever, it's ours now.
We have ownership of this now.
Sure, yeah. But like, I think she came and she's like, yeah, like I just like, I want to, you know, what if you write a sketch that's just, you know, like the frog princess, you know what I mean? Like, Tiana, she's just like, yeah, my frog knows how to please me, you know, and that's all it was. And I just, that idea was so funny to me of a frog just being like, just being able to please like, his significant other. Or there was this other one where she came and she's like, I just want to like, I want to be like this girlfriend who just like starts shit, you know? And it's like, oh, are you going to let them talk to me like that? and like, that's all it was. And so, yeah, I think that's the funnest part to me, I think. Or one of the funnest parts is just like sort of, the collaborative part.
For sure. Yeah. That's what I enjoy too. It's funny you say like students are like, you know, not willing to take, you know, people's notes. That always, when you know, in classes, I'd be like frustrated because I'd be like, man, just do it.
It feels like you're precious and like in a bubble at the moment. You're so protective of what you have and you don't realize the thing that you're aspiring to want to do is just constantly giving and receiving of like a group. If you'd want to just write your web series and go film it. Have a great time.
Exactly. And then also I was in like a sketch group and someone else would take note, like, pitches or whatever, and it's a frustrating thing because like, man, everyone around you, we're so like fortunate because everyone on our team is just so funny, you know, every, you know, individual, and they're throwing you stuff and they're just trying to get you better. But and I also heard, I remember, like, you know, like a new writer, like in any setting, like being silent or quiet in the room is like death, you know. For you gotta constantly like contribute to, you know, everything that's going on. I had a point that I wanted to say, but I kind of forgot. But now that was a good point.
I like what was said.
Yeah.
I feel like also there's like two signs that you know if like a first draft or a pitch you have is funny. The first is obviously if people are laughing, but the second is if everybody wants to pitch on it and all the pitches are like on game.
Because
at that point, not only did you kind of communicate what the game was so clearly where everyone gets it. But also it's like it's open-ended and fun where it can go in so many different directions.
Sure.
And then it's fun because then you get to cherry pick the best ideas and kind of just put them out on the page. For me, it's funny that you're saying how some people don't like to take ideas and stuff. For me, every pitch I write it down, and in that second draft, I just put them all in it. I'm like, you just made my job a lot easier. And then obviously you can see how everyone reacts. And as someone who does pitch ideas, sometimes when the writer puts it in and no one laughs, sometimes you're like, eh, I still think it was funny. Yeah. But I understand if that doesn't make the third draft.
Yeah, if you really hate a pitch, you could just put it in just to see it fucking tank. Yeah.
Yeah. And then you look at whoever pitched it and you're like, it just fizzles. It is. I also feel a little bad in terms of, because you guys are talking about actors' pitches.
Yeah.
Sometimes for me, the funniest part of the pitch isn't necessarily the part that's supposed to be funny. Or like I see the game in maybe a little a different premise or setting. So for me, I sometimes kind of go from that angle. And I always feel like when I do that, even though whether people are laughing in the room or not, I always feel like I'm letting the initial actor or actress down a little bit. So sometimes, like, I'll be like, "Hey, I'm gonna take this one. Is that okay?" Because you know that I'm gonna do it a little different. And I think sometimes people get mad when I take their pitches.
I don't think that's true at all.
Come on, Jessica, admit it.
No, I won't admit it.
All right.
So every actor pitch, you just spin it and flip it to a different thing. It's the same game.
Yeah, it's like two scientists talking about physics. I'm like, what if it's two plumbers talking about poop? Like, it's still, I mean, those are analogous.
Yeah, and that actor's not going to bet it.
we'll see. Cast those actors.
But yeah, I love the collaborative effort of Mod Night. And to me, it's so much more fulfilling to have a sketch where you know that you didn't do 100% of it and there's like different bits and pieces and vice versa. When you see a sketch that you're like, oh, I pitched that line. It feels better than to just do something on your own.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, it's the best feeling when you have, like, a bunch of jokes that you pitched in someone's sketch and you see them on stage and they're, like, hit and you're like, I told you, listen to me, I'm funny. I don't know. It's
just, yeah, yeah.
It is a good feeling, yeah.
Well, and I feel like it really, like, makes the difference between, like, a team that's, you know, good and they have one or two standout sketches versus, like, a whole show that's like, whoa. Like, when the whole team feels like they have ownership of something, I feel like you can just feel it in every sketch and feel it in the show. And it makes such a difference to be, yeah. And like when you move on from this, I'm sure you're not on Mod just to write sketches forever. On Mod, if you want to be in a writer's room someday, like you're going to be pitching on other people's stuff and you have to like just want to be present and like this and want to give, people like it feels so good when you have a joke in somebody else's sketch and it lands.
Can I give my first taste of this whole thing, which actually very much relates to UCB?
You may.
When I was in high school, one of my friends, when I was a senior, was doing like one of those. He was running for like UCB. What's the student like?
ASB.
Yes, yeah, ASB. Yeah. Should be USB, by the way. We should.
It should UCB. Be USB. Because really, you're getting plugged in.
Yeah, yeah. damn. All right. So he was running for like vice president or something, and he had a very serious speech. And then he was like, "I should have a joke in it." And I was like, "Oh, I was watching a lot of UCB at the time, so I was like, they had a sketch where it was about." How someone I think was like telling everybody that everyone when they go to the bathroom that they look at their poop before they flush. It's just something everybody does. You're laughing because you know it's true. So I was like, that sketch is funny. So this is like also the first example of me ripping something off. I was like, oh, at the end of your sketch, you should say, you know, I took a little poll about asking people if they look at their poop before they flush it. And I found out that 4 out of 5 people all do. And the one person who said that they didn't was my mom, and then he leaned into the mic and said, and I know she was lying. And like the whole like school like it was like laughing and all this stuff, and I was just like sitting there like surrounded by laughter of a line that I didn't say but like I wrote, even though I ripped it off a little bit. But I was like, oh, this is so fun to be in the audience or to be like not on stage and just feel it and go, oh, I wrote those words, but his delivery like made it funny. But like I don't know, it felt so good. And it's also cool because it comes back to UCB.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You've said poop a lot.
In the past 12 months.
in just the past 45 minutes.
I think that's the one thing. Like, it's funny because we were talking about puns earlier, I think before we started recording, and poop. It's like, no matter where comedy goes, where it's like, in a year from now, it's like, oh, we can't laugh about that anymore because now we know that like being stupid is like something we don't have control over. It's like a mental thing. Like eventually the further science gets and the more we can define these things, I think there's things now that we laugh at that in 10 years from now, we're going to go, I can't believe anyone laughed at calling someone a moron, or, you know, things that we don't have control over. But in 10, 20 years from now, we're still going to be laughing at puns and poop because there's nothing like those are just so pure. And it's like, hey, we might as well start laughing now.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Everyone else is pro pun and pro poop?
For sure.
Pro shit.
Good. If you take nothing else from this palate cleanse, it's just that poops and puns are funny. Do you guys want to...
and all the great things that...
And all the other stuff.
That you guys said.
But that's like the large sort of thematic takeaway.
Should really take
sketch
away
comedy is puns and poop.
Would you guys like to plug anything before we leave?
Right now, if you live in LA, at the Los Feliz 3, they're playing this movie Lady Bird. and it's a great movie. I think you should all see it. It had like the record for the most money per theater for an opening weekend for a woman director. But it's one of the best coming of age movies. I don't know why I'm plugging Lady Bird. But you should all see Lady Bird.
Okay. Great. Yeah, it doesn't have to be something you're affiliated with, apparently.
Greta Gerwig, shout out. my all rap improv group Dopetown 3000, we're doing the SF Sketch Fest this year. I know that's like in a while, but if there are listeners up in San Francisco Bay Area, if you're going to be up there, we're going to be Thursday, Friday the January 24th and 25th at Piano Fight. We're going to get hyphy, guys. Ooh. It's going to get real hyphy.
Sick.
Damn.
Yo, that's dope, because I'll see you in SF, because my improv team, Arcade Currency, is doing the SF Sketch Fest.
Yeah.
I don't remember the dates, but just can you check on the website?
Just
if
look
you know
online.
Look online.
I think you guys are on Friday, the 25th, because I remember seeing you guys.
Okay.
And then maybe on the 26th, too.
Okay, dope. We'll chill in the San Fran,
man. We're gonna ghost ride the whip.
Oh, that'd be dope. I'm down to the ghost ride and improv whip. Also, every third Saturday of the month, Arcade Currency, we do improv. We have a show in the Inner Sanctum, 7 p.m. Come to that. It's dope. And indie improv teams or sometimes house teams. Who knows?
Very cool.
Should we plug our own mod teams?
I'll just say across the board, if you'd like to see mod, I think we make up at least 3/4 of the night, right? Are you guys on the same night or a different night?
Different night. Yeah.
So at any Wednesday at 8:30, come to the theater and you are three-fourths chance likely to see us. We are the fourth Wednesday of the month.
The fifth of this month.
Oh, this month we're the fifth because of holidays.
Yeah. You have a 75% chance of seeing a good show.
Stinker team. Yeah.
I think in the community we call it the off night.
Ooh.
Ouch. Or can I do one real quick plug, like a real one?
No, Lady Bird is your plug.
All right, okay.
Go ahead, real quick.
If you like movies, I have a movie podcast called Views from the Vista with my co-host Honor Nezzo and Steve Hernandez. And go to the Vista Theater, Los Feliz 3, see the movie, and then listen to us talk about it.
Great. See Gorgeous, see New Deal, or New Money. Wait, oh my God. Okay, New Deal. We were talking about New Money earlier.
The New Deal, we're the first Wednesday of the month.
First Wednesday of the month.
So definitely want, come check it out. You guys are, the second?
Third Wednesday.
Okay. Yes, with Karate.
Yes.
And also, you need to listen to Mac Dre, so you're getting all these references we're doing at the end.
Right, yeah. Was that one?
Yeah, Mac Dre E40.
Fantabulous.
Hyvee
movement people.
I mean, listen, and also like, you have to listen to every Lil B song ever.
Oh, dude,
we're gonna give you a lot of homework.
Oh, I'm a Lil B fanatic on the low key.
Okay, this is a whole
other podcast.
Hey, you opened it.
Damn, you opened the door.
I'm team game. Right. I'm team the game. Like, and he doesn't like. Yeah.
And don't forget to watch Vicky Lawrence.
Yes.
Bye, everybody.
You've been listening to the UCB Longform Conversations podcast on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network. If you like this podcast, please subscribe and review at itunes.com/UCB Comedy. The opinions expressed in this episode are those of the comedians talking and don't necessarily reflect the opinions of UCB Theater or Training Center. Find cutting-edge comedy videos on YouTube and Vimeo at UCB Comedy. Find our live shows at ucbtheater.com and connect with us on social media at UCB Comedy.